You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you tell me a bit about what's been happening with the funding of Aotearoa's transport and infrastructure recently?
Sure. So with the announcement coming yesterday, we've seen that the majority of transport funding is going to roads, pretty much. I think $1.8 billion is going towards green projects, but 78% of the total amount for transport is going to constructing roads, widening them, or and obviously some safety improvements. If I had to add just more on that, our reaction is that it's a kind of a gross misallocation of valuable resources in a time when there's a climate emergency. Why are we spending more money on something that will cause more climate change?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen the Climate Change Response Amendment Act passed recently last year in 2019. And so I imagine that you and the rest of Generation Zero probably expected a different approach to funding of transport infrastructure after that piece of legislation passed.
Definitely. I think we're optimistic. However, this announcement was worse than expected, to be honest.
Can you explain a bit about why it was worse than what you initially expected?
Sure. So the Zero Carbon Bill kind of laid out how New Zealand would reach the Paris Agreement, how it would fulfil the requirements of the Paris Agreement, and that would include halving our emissions by 2030 and then reducing us to carbon neutral, carbon zero by 2050. We were disappointed because we know that building more roads encourages more sprawl, more congestion, more pollution, and worse health overall, which increases our emissions. And every time we increase our emissions, it gets harder to make them peak and then reduce them. The window is closing for us, and yet we're still speeding towards the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely something that people definitely feel is a very real and pressing threat. And I think that not only does it have an effect on like our physical health, living in cities which are congested and full of smog and like hard to navigate, but I also think the mental health of young people is a real factor which is often overlooked. And the idea that we could potentially be dealing with the end times in 30, 40 years.
Exactly. I think we try to stay optimistic at Generation Zero. With all these announcements like this kind of thing, everyone wants to be fiscally conservative. And we know that roads in general are bad economics with their cost-to-benefit ratio. We know they worsen congestion by encouraging more cars and that people are more willing to not be lazy, but take a car over walking or cycling. Probably just the other thing I'd mention that's relevant is that we understand that cars have their place and they're not going away anytime soon. But given the climate emergency, we should be aggressively looking to limit or reduce the number of cars, because the cars they're driving on Kenlink and Mill Road will not be electric cars or electric trucks. They'll be diesel trucks and petrol cars.
So we're talking a bit about compromise here and actually making an active choice to step away from maybe using the car for short journeys or where it's unnecessary. What sort of compromise do you think we could see at a structural level at this point in terms of the way that we look at transport and fund it?
I think for starters, the safety improvements that have to go towards our most dangerous roads are long overdue. And we have obviously no issue with that money being spent responsibly in that area to ensure the safety of all Kiwis. The compromise, so to speak, that's right. When you talked about the majority of trips being quite sure, that's absolutely right. I think the majority, 70% of car trips in New Zealand are under 5 kilometres, so they could be quite easily replaced by cycling or walking or public transport. Is there a compromise? I think the majority of spending should be spent on active transport and public transport, with just the bare minimum going towards road improvements, and that's all.
Okay, do you have any thoughts as to what the eventual consequences of governments not investing in greener transport infrastructure could be?
Sure, absolutely. The biggest one, of course, is just worsening and accelerating our carbon input output, which makes it much harder for us to reach our goals under the Paris Agreement. But it extends beyond the climate, of course. We will pay more on healthcare because more people will drive, so it will be things like crashes, of course, but also obesity as well. We'll pay more in lost productivity because of worse congestion. And Of course, things like road maintenance on top of that, given all these heavy cars and soon to be electric cars and trucks, we pay a lot of money to reseal these roads, which are just going to be worn down over and over again. So I think those three things or four things are the biggest consequences at the front of our minds right now.
Was there anything that you've seen in terms of, I guess, transport funding in other cities or other models that you've seen applied that you think could be applied in Aotearoa's context?
Sure, definitely. I think when we contributed to Auckland's climate action framework underneath our declared climate emergency, we kind of helped outline what the future of the city should look like in 2030 or 2050. And when we look through examples like Vancouver, they say things like by 2030, 50% of all trips on our roads or kilometres travelled will be by walking, cycling, public transport, and so on. Other things that places like Vancouver and Toronto have done is that from the 90s onwards, they decided that we won't give any more space to private vehicles in the city and only reduce that over time. We think that that will be appropriate as well, especially in urban centres in New Zealand.
Why do you think that there has been some success in other sectors, such as the decarbonisation of schools and hospitals, but we've been lagging behind a bit when it comes to transport?
I think for that decarbonisation, it's very welcome, but in a way it is kind of a low-hanging fruit. It's long overdue. I think everyone is for it. There's no disagreement. But I think when it comes to transport, it's much more emotionally loaded, because I think everyone is affected by economics and by congestion and that sort of thing. And when we've got this such a car-centric model of life, as we've seen in kind of the Anglosphere for the last half a century, then it's very hard to break this idea that roads cause congestion, they cause climate change, and that we need to change our lifestyles.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think is of pinnacle importance for you right now and for Generation Zero?
Sure. So because this is important, a few things where we think the money could be better spent. We think better improvements or busways out on the northwestern motorway in Auckland and eventually light rail there and to Mangere. We also think that in Wellington, better bus priority measures and high occupancy lanes from the CBD to the airport would be very welcome. And for everywhere in New Zealand, things like cycling infrastructure, because going back to that 5-kilometre rule that we talked about with cars, it's very easy to replace those trips and it's very easy to build cycling infrastructure pretty much in every urban centre in New Zealand. For example, with the $1 billion going towards Mill Road, that could be very easily allocated to link up or to create a comprehensive network of cycling routes in every city in New Zealand instead of just a single road in a single city. If I just had to add one more thing very quickly, it'll be that while things like the bus lanes and so on that we might see as like high occupancy veins at Mill Road and that kind of stuff and the cycling infrastructure there, it's very welcome. However, we should ask ourselves, why do we only get critical infrastructure when we're building a new highway? Shouldn't we be doing that actively without having to wait for more cars to come first? That is our main point, I think.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.